I'd never really looked into the prophet Hosea that close until I was given this assignment. And needless to say, I was rather taken back by what I found. And I hope that this will be an enlightened 15 minutes or so for you. Hosea is the first book in the book of the 12 prophets in the Hebrew Bible. The prophet preached in Israel in the second half of the 8th century B.C., beginning during the reign of Jeroboam. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and Micah, which we heard about yesterday, in Judah, and began his career shortly after Amos's brief one in Israel. He was the last prophet that God raised up in Israel to try to get the people to repent. Hosea's task was doubly sad because at God's direction, he took a wife who was just as unfaithful to him as Israel was to her God. Through all this story, God's love and compassion stand out to a remarkable extent. The picture of God in Hosea is one of that of a loving, loving husband who yearns desperately to have a faithful wife. However, will have none of it. And the consequences of her sins must play themselves out, although hope for the future is never lost. At the time Hosea was preaching, Jeroboam was the acting king, and a wicked king was he. The people of Israel at that time, they weren't much better themselves. As they say, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was ready for the weekend. As he prophesied, he told the nation that if they didn't change their ways, that God was going to raise up the Assyrian nation to completely punish them. And that fierce and ruthless army would sweep across the land like a scourge. But the people didn't pay any attention to him, just like poor Jeremiah. So the young Hosea found himself rather discouraged. And in the opening chapter of this prophecy, we read a personal note about him. He went to God, and God told him to do a very strange thing. Verse 2. Go take to yourself a wife of harlotry, and have children of harlotry, for the land committeth flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblon, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said, name him Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Israel and the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it'll come about on that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Keep that mind, that name Jezreel, in your mind. Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I should ever forgive them. But I'll have compassion on the house of Judah, and I'll not deliver them by the bow, sword, or in battle, horsemen or horses. When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Hosea must have really been puzzled when God told him to marry this street prostitute, and equally puzzled at the names that God told him to name the children of this relationship. But nevertheless, Hosea knew that God used signs and symbols to teach his people, because he remembered the incident with Abraham and his son and the sacrifice. And what a name for his firstborn son in Jezreel. Remember that name, where it comes from? In 2 Kings 9:30 through 37, we call to mind the story of Queen Jezebel and how she put her husband Ahab up to cheating their neighbor out of his vineyard. God's judgment fell on her one day as General Jehu rode up and, seeing her in the upper window, ordered the servants to throw her down to the pavement where she was killed. And the dogs ate her up. And the courtyard where she died is because came to known as Jezreel to this very day. As a prophet of God, Hosea realized this same type of thing could happen to Israel if they didn't change their ways. This is a picture of how God views Israel and the world of mankind in a vague but similar way, and that's found in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verses 4 through 10. We'll quote, "Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife, forsaken and grieved in spirit, and even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, he says, I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger, he says, I have hid my face from you. But with everlasting loving kindness, he says, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me, he says, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not ever flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you, for the mountains may be moved and the hills may be shaken, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you." There's an absolutely profound statement in this book, in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day. Then we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. He is going forth as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rains watering the earth." And of course, brethren, we realize this is a picture of the millennial age when God's face will turn back to them totally and they'll receive all those blessings. In the story of Hosea, Gomer, his wife left him to go play the harlot with the others. In chapter 2 of Hosea, we find her saying in verse 2, "I'll go after my lovers who give me bread and water, my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink." Little did Gomer know that all these items her husband had made available to her suitors for her welfare. And brethren, so it is with us and with the world. God has provided all that we need to go through this life. And there will come a time, as it did for Gomer, that the realization of the kindness and the goodness has always come from our Heavenly Father. This drawing back to Hosea, the Lord, is shown in the statement by the Lord starting with chapter 2, verse 6. "Therefore, I will hedge up her ways with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths, and she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. And she will seek them, but she will not find them. At this point in the story, Gomer is beginning to see the evil of her ways. Verse 7. Then she will say, I will go back to my first husband, for it was better for me then. But there's a price to pay for all of this great unfaithfulness, as there will be in the restitution for the world of mankind. The story continues. Verse 10. And then I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one will rescue her out of my hand. I will put an end to all of her gaiety and her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her festal assemblies. And I will destroy all of her vines and fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given to me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field will devour them. And I will punish her for the days of the Baals when she used to offer sacrifices to them, and adorn herself with earrings and jewelry, and follow her lovers, so that she forgot me, declares the Lord. Then a strange thing happened in this story. We'll paraphrase this. Hosea learned that Gomer was to be sold in the slave market. Now, he still loved this woman with all of his heart, in spite of all that she had done to him. So with tears, Hosea goes to God to ask him what to do. Chapter 3. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods. So Hosea bought her for himself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Following this incident, a prophecy is made that still stands to this very day. Verse 4. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or household idols. Afterwards, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God, David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord, to his goodness in the last days. Ever since the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD in the hands of General Titus of the Roman armies, Israel has been without a king or a prince, without anyone who has the recognized right to rule over Israel. And they shall live without a sacrifice. When the Jews of the world celebrate the Passover supper, they are remembering that the supper instituted in Egypt when Israel was delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, and God had told Israel that every time they ate the Passover, they were to kill a lamb. But for 2,000 years, the Jews have never killed a lamb. Why not? Why do they offer a bone, a burnt bone, for a sacrifice? God had said that they shall live many days without a sacrifice, and since the destruction of the temple, there has never been a sacrifice in Israel, nor a pillar, ephod, or a seraphim. And they shall live without idolatry. They shall live as a religious people, but without giving themselves to idols. Code of Jewish Law 476:1. Essentially, the entire book of Hosea is the beautiful picture of how our Heavenly Father is to reclaim the Jew first, then all of mankind. We'll close with these words from the prophet Hosea. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands, for in thee the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. My anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again rise and raise grain, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but the transgressors will stumble in them. May the Lord add his blessing.